Hello and welcome to the Colossians 2:7 podcast in English. Du hörst gerade eine monatliche Folge für unsere Freunde in den Staaten. While our regular listeners are primarily German, we are delighted to have a growing number of listeners from the States as well. Odds are you know us personally, and I want to thank you for tuning in. In this special episode, we invite you, dear friend, to join Willy and me as we engage in thoughtful conversation about life and ministry within the German context. Because the traditional Catholic Church is the norm, that's all they know.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with us when we say we are not the Catholic Church.
Correct.
They're wondering, oh, do you guys run around in circles and like worship something? Or they have no...
You celebrate birthdays. That's what they ask me.
They have no concept. And so when describing ourselves, we always want to be different than the church and still not completely opposite of the church.
Yes.
It should be familiar. This is a church gathering. This is a church service. Have similar songs in that sense, but it is something way different than what they're used to.
Yeah.
And I think the focus that how we can help distinguish that is focus on the relationships. Because you don't have that in the Catholic Church. Yes. You go there a few times a year. You might know the person, but you go there, you sit down, you listen for 5 minutes, and then you leave again.
Maybe in one of our episodes should be the differences between a Catholic service and and one of our services, which I think, again, church history helps to understand and appreciate so much. And also one thing that I did not appreciate until I moved to Eichstätt and started to interact with Catholics are the five solas and the 95 theses from Luther.
Yeah.
I did not view them as that important. Why? Because, well, it's obvious, unless you actually talk to Catholics.
Yes.
And suddenly you see that the five solas are maybe even more important now than they were back then. And the theses are just as accurate and needed for today. Even though even though Catholics would say there are no more... What is Ablassbrief? Letter of Indulgence. The Indulgence. So, the Catholics would say they don't have it anymore. Catholic doctrine has never eliminated them, first. Second, they still have them. Because if you go into a Catholic church and observe, you see it. And so, and if you talk to priests, they would actually not deny it. And so they would not call it the same way, thanks to the movie Luther, because now everybody knows. But it is really interesting. So it will be probably interesting to see that, and also interesting for all the listeners. But that, again, it helps to have the church history to understand why did Luther do all that. And yes, did he understand everything? No, he didn't. And that's okay.
I have used the five solas to explain what I believe. Depending on who I'm talking to, they might know a little bit about church history. I've actually met someone, I said, what we believe has its origin in that sense from the Reformation. And they said, what's that? I thought, well, that's difficult. But talking to this circle of Catholic students, religious teachers, and seminary students, and this is the cool thing, is that oftentimes, I did not want to go to those get-togethers because it's stressful and depressing, depending on what they're talking about. And they also study philosophy and psychology. I sat in those get-togethers, and they talked about the philosophy of math for 2 hours. And I thought, this is horrible.
Only people without a life.
Yes.
Can do that.
And even they said it too. They said, this is horrible. I hate math. Why am I teaching it? It's because it's a job. It's a well-paying job.
Yeah.
But in that circle, I'm talking to one of the students, and I simply go through the five Zolas one by one. And she's listening, as well as everyone else is listening to. And so I'm just having one conversation, but everyone else is tuning in and listening. And when you go through this, the five Zolas, they will listen, they'll hear it, and probably even say, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes back to, no matter where you are, you have to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And our surrounding is not German per se. It is Bavarian, because in the southern part of Germany you have the Catholic dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go further north, you have Lutheran. So it's a little different there.
Which is due to a war a few hundred years ago.
Yes, yeah. there have been a few wars.
I think the Swedes didn't come that far south. That's why you have Lutheran in the north and Catholic in the south.
I don't know, maybe. Possible.
It is.
I did not study that part. I was reading church history when you studied that.
Would you say that Bavaria is the Texas of Germany?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it got a little smaller. And I'm not talking about 1920, 1930, 1940. But even before that, if you look at German history, I mean, Germany, Bavaria, went all the way down to, not quite Rome, but, I mean, all the way down to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And so... It was huge.
Yes.
It was huge. And the German emperor was actually under the Pope.
Uh-huh.
But it was all Germany. That's why when you go to Italy, the northern part, they actually have German signs and some of them speak German.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. But then Bavaria lost the war to the Prussians.
Well, I think it's time now to stop that.
Should we touch on one last thing before we end?
Maybe.
It might be controversial.
Oh, no.
But, and this was one last thing I was thinking about, our connection with the Catholic Church. In Germany, you actually have a very small distinction between church and state.
Yes.
And in fact, even politicians would say politics needs more church.
Mm.
I would say it's because the church has strayed away from the gospel and more towards morals and ethics, how to make a better future for your kids. Yes. And so it's a lot more moral and relevant in that sense.
Yes.
And so you can have an event in town, like a parade, and you can be part of that parade. Even though it's a town event, it's actually organized by the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, if you want to be active in your community, the Catholic Church can see that as you trying to work together with the Catholic Church.
Yes.
And one way how that got interesting for us a few years ago was when you were asked if you wanted to be part of an ecumenical church service.
Oh, yes. I don't want to be a part of that. Actually, this year I forgot about it.
Oh, yeah?
I did. Yes.
When was it?
Remember that Sunday when I took you home and I said, oh, by the way, next week?
Yeah.
It was actually as we were talking.
Oh, whoops.
Mm. Yeah.
did the mother church slap you on the...
Well, they didn't know. Yes. Yeah, it is a very controversial thing. Very controversial. And I did not want, I mean, I got an email and I said, okay, let's talk about it. But then
you were sweating.
Well, like, not the first time, the first one I was like, wow, they wanted me to preach, for that. And let's call that a service for the unity of Christians.
Okay. Cause
that's what they called it. They didn't. Yeah. So they asked me, and it was October, November, and I said, well, what does it entail? And they said, well, we can talk about it. We'll get together. I said, okay, sure. That was 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you're referring to was, I think, the day after Christmas.
Yes.
And you were sitting on our couch, and I get an email, and it said, okay, well, this is the order of service, and mm-hmm. I am in it.
Yes.
And I did not preach. I was not put in as doing the sermon. I was supposed to do a blessing and reading, and I was mm-hmm. like, no.
Uh-huh.
No. But it was too late because it was already in a newspaper. It was official already all over the city.
Uh-huh. Because we already talked about that, and you were not at ease with it at all.
No.
You were sick to your stomach.
Yes, and I didn't want to ask anybody.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think you contacted any of the fellowshipping pastors.
No.
Did you talk to Christoph about it?
No. I don't want to be excommunicated.
You did talk to Bob Radank about it.
Yes. Yes.
And then when you got the email, there you were.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just an email. It was in the newspaper.
Correct.
In the newspaper, it said, the Ecumenical Church Service for the Unity of Christians in the World, and presented by the Catholic priest, the Lutheran pastor,
yes,
and then Villy,
yes,
pastor of the Baptist Church,
yes,
and then we had the dilemma: what do you do?
Correct.
Because either you can try to follow your gut.
Mm.
And not take part in an ecumenical church service, because you would not take part in ecumenical church service.
Correct.
Generally, that's not something
Correct.
You do.
Nope. Against it.
Yes. We are against the ecumenical movement.
Correct. Amen.
But then, on the other hand, we have this rare scenario where the Catholic Church does not hate us here. Mm-hmm. Actually tolerates us very well, appreciates that we are here.
Yes.
They see the other free church in town as a threat. They don't see us as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now, if you are welcomed into the service, but you go, no,
yeah,
that would ruin your relationship with the priest that you are, that you have been establishing.
Correct.
Your standing in the city as well.
Yeah.
And that would ruin a lot of opportunities to establish yourself, not as a cult or a cult, but an actual church.
Correct. Yeah. At that point, I had, with that one priest, I actually had really good conversations
mm-hmm.
about the gospel.
Yeah.
I was able to share with them. I was able to share with a Lutheran priest certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we established common grounds. I wouldn't say we established a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
With that one Catholic priest, yes, but he's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other Catholic priest that I got to know, he's not there anymore. That's a dangerous thing for the Catholic priest to get to know me, because they... Well, no, you have to go somewhere else. We send you to the farm. Pretty much. That's what it really felt like.
Uh-huh.
But I was able to talk to them. I was able to share with them and talk to them about what is baptism, what is the gospel. So
mm-hmm.
And those were open doors through the... Partially, I was invited to that service, but then through that service, it was deepened.
Mm-hmm.
And now... Then, the year after...
You were able to preach.
Then I was able to preach. And that was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, the Catholics have a limit of 5 minutes for a sermon, which is not even an introduction. Depends on who you had in your
mm-hmm.
homiletics class.
Mm-hmm.
But I would clearly... I mean, I usually preach 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So they were talking about, hey, let's... you can do the sermon, and it's about, let's say 7 minutes. But it's about Jesus being the vine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. And so I did preach on that. I shared the gospel
yes.
to everybody who was sitting there. And afterwards, the priest came to me and he said, that was a lot of Jesus.
A lot of Jesus. It was interesting to be sitting there watching you preach and then watching the priest and the Lutheran pastor squirming in their seats.
Yeah.
that was interesting.
Yes. And well, the first year I said, I'm not going to do the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
What I will do is I read the Bible.
Yeah.
And I asked, can I read out of my Bible? Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. And they said, that was really interesting because I've never heard anybody read like that.
It's different if you read with conviction.
Yes. And so then the third year, and the Lutheran priest was the same, but then we had an Orthodox priest. And man, he was a blast. Mm-hmm. He was a great guy.
Uh-huh.
Russian Orthodox. It was really interesting. And we got to know each other. And then I got a tour of the Orthodox seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained stuff to me. And it was a private tour, which was great.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, they can sing. My goodness, it was amazing. And there I read again the Bible. And then the fourth time, last year, I prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And the Catholic priest afterwards, another Catholic priest, he came up to me and he said, no, he wrote me a message.
Oh, okay.
He texted me and he said, I just wanted to tell you, it is amazing to me how people in the free church like you
mm-hmm.
can pray
mm-hmm.
so freely and with such conviction.
Yeah.
And after that, I was quite confused because he had a wedding band on. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, I said, so tell me, how? And he said, well, I'm not a priest per se. I'm a deacon.
Oh.
A deacon is the step before you become a priest.
Mm-hmm.
But deacons have there's a special exemption rule that you could be married if you are married before you become a priest, become a deacon,
mm-hmm.
but you couldn't become a priest. So he can't, there are certain things he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
But then we sat down and I said, hey, I just want to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sat down and we talked for probably an hour
mm-hmm.
and we established a friendly, not a friendship,
mm-hmm.
But we write each other occasionally and I shared the gospel. He has been to free churches before and mm-hmm. everything. So it was really interesting. But through that, again, I was able to share the gospel. And if you don't live in this environment, and even in other churches in other cities where the Catholic Church is not as predominant
mm-hmm.
as it is here, I probably wouldn't do it.
No.
But here... Now, if I talk to somebody and I say, I talk to this priest, and suddenly they start listening.
And now they respect you because
yes.
of that. Now they listen to you.
Correct.
You're not a cult leader.
Yes.
You are a recognized pastor.
Yes.
Of a recognized, legitimate church.
Correct. Yeah. And so now when they see me, or we have an on... All Saints Day,
mm-hmm.
November 1st.
That's the day after Halloween.
Exactly. Yes.
Or Reformation Day.
Or Reformation Day.
I didn't know it was Reformation Day until I went to college.
Oh, there you go.
In Berlin, I just knew it as Halloween.
Well, it explains a lot about Berlin. But if... So, we go to the cemetery because that is where... The Catholics have their ceremony,
mm-hmm.
and they pray for the dead, trying to get them out of purgatory a little bit.
Yes.
And we stand there outside of the cemetery, ready with evangelistic calendars, and we hand them out.
Yes.
We handed out 800 calendars last year, I believe. No, 1,200, because
1,200.
You guys... Yes, you guys went to Bayern Gris,
mm-hmm.
And you did 400, and we did about 800.
Yeah.
So we handed out 800 calendars with the gospel
mm-hmm.
clearly presented, including to the, not to the bishop, but to the main priest.
Mm-hmm.
So, And he knows me. And so when I stand there, he greets me now. Mm-hmm. The first time he didn't.
No?
No, but now he knows me.
Uh-huh.
And so he actually stops. The first time he just went on and, ooh, hello.
Uh-huh.
Now, I don't think he actually walked. He just glided.
Glided?
Miscongeniality. And then one time a priest wrote me or called me and said, did you guys hand out those calendars? Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
So it is establishing a relationship, not agreeing with the Catholic Church in mm-hmm. no way.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are certain things I clearly tell them, and they would say, well, that is actually not the,
mm-hmm.
We won't do that.
It is, you cannot avoid the Catholic Church living in Bavaria, and especially living in Eichstätt.
Correct.
You somehow have to learn to coexist.
Yes.
Or actually manage to live together.
Yes. And if you want to have a foot in the door,
mm-hmm.
it is helpful, because then, again, because of my relation, and I don't want to put it on me,
mm-hmm.
but since I'm the one who was put on the spot here for that meeting, and because of that relationship, we were able to have the chorale sing, mm-hmm. or the chamber choir, sorry, Chris, the singers from Faith,
mm-hmm.
We had them sing at a Catholic venue.
Yes.
And Catholic people came to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want to avoid the Catholic Church and you don't go to that, well, most likely the Catholics will avoid you.
Yes.
So if you want the Catholics to come to hear the gospel, you have to give a little bit.
You have to interact with them.
Yes.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And when you were worried about attending that service or being part of that service, you brought to the church too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was an actual vote, but we were able to express our concern or what we were thinking. And our conclusion was, because it was completely out of your hands, you did not know if you were going to or not until you found out you were.
Yes, that's true.
And because of that, we saw that as God's leading in this.
And I intentionally don't announce it in our church. No, they say, hey, announce it in your church and have flyer up. I don't do that.
No.
I don't tell the church. It's my thing. Mm-hmm. I go there.
Yeah.
I don't want the church to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they know it. I tell them.
Yeah.
But I don't include anybody besides you.
Mm-hmm.
And with that... Now, there are a few ex-Catholics in our church, and one guy, he's quite on, he makes sure that I don't mess up. And he would come to me, and he said, careful, you're on a slippery slope, and you're going to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I do not compromise doctrine, I don't compromise the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That fellowship, yes, that is the compromise I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to worry. I'm not gonna, or even when we had the Catholic priest come for the questionnaire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, are you gonna invite a Catholic now to speak at your church?
No.
Actually, no. I invited him so that everybody can ask a question and he can give you the answer, so you don't have to say, I think Catholics believe that.
That way he can expose himself.
Exactly. And that, again, that was a good encounter, a friendly... that Catholic priest enjoys coming,
mm-hmm.
And yes, being put on the spot and even having hard questions, but not being martyred,
mm-hmm.
and not being attacked, but okay, being respected,
mm-hmm.
but also clearly presented the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are just really good open doors.
That's something you always have to practice. you can believe completely different than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You still treat them with respect.
Yes.
And you still love them like Christ does too.
Yes.
And in that, it might come across that we're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you establish relationships and conversation.
Yeah.
And through that, you show how we're actually different.
Correct.
But you need personal connection, a personal touch.
Yeah.
It does not work otherwise.
Correct. You need common ground, and you have to show them respect and show them that you love them if you want to reach them with the gospel.
Mm-hmm. I do appreciate a few of my friends from college. Just a few?
Yeah.
Well, the few that are more ministry-minded, I suppose.
Yeah.
And who have also either experienced or grown up in different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I explain how we live in a Catholic society and have to learn to get along somehow.
Yeah.
And explain how you would be part of the ecumenical service and how that helped us establish being a genuine, legitimate church in the eyes of the Catholic Church, which is the eyes of the city.
Correct.
And this person said, oh yeah, I totally understand.
don't name the names.
I won't name him.
Yeah. Yes. And that is something where, and that is a part of why we do this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
At least in my mind, at least it was what you told me. It is to explain. And that is also why I would love to have people come over to visit.
And see us.
Yes. Because I believe if somebody's interested in Germany and you come over and you do painting a wall and even going doing flyers into mailboxes, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if you understand or get an understanding of the culture. Now, if they would come and just spend time with us, and spend time with people in our church, and spend time asking questions why we do certain things,
mm-hmm.
I believe their desire for the gospel in Germany will grow more.
Yeah.
And it does, on paper, it might not seem like, oh, that's a great missions trip. Because, I always said at Faith, if somebody would come from Germany and says, we need people, and you would go and visit on a mission trip and paint a house, people would go back and say, that's not a mission trip. If people would go to South Africa or to South America and they would paint a house, oh, we did a great mission trip.
That's a mission trip.
And I would say the painting a house might be helpful, might be good, but building the relationship with the local pastor, missionary, and the locals will help you. Not maybe right away, wow, I did so much, but it will give you a better understanding and a better love for the people, and actually God will work through that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you don't come as a missionary, which you should, but if you don't come as a missionary, but you might understand mission field better and the work that we do.
Germany is a beautiful country,
mm-hmm.
and we love tourists. Tourists come here. We love showing off the beautiful country.
Yes.
Sadly, I think many missions trips to Germany are a lot more touristy, and people have come here, they see Neuschwanstein. We want to show off Neuschwanstein. You haven't seen it yet.
I have not seen it yet.
But then they go back to the States. I think a more intentional missions trip would be spend time with the nationals, with the church members, with the national pastor, see what he does and relationships he has.
Yeah.
Because you might scare away 9 out of 10 people, but if the one person comes back, that's what's worth it.
Yes. And that is, and you, of course, you want to show all the pretty things and all that stuff, but it is developing a love for the ministry and for the people, and everywhere it's different, and so that's why it's good to get to know the people. And I have said that in America, I've said it in Germany, a way to reach people is through relationships.
Yes.
And even more now than it was years ago, in my opinion.
Relationships, relationships, relationships.
Yeah.
With the Germans, with the immigrants that move here. with their weird backstories.
Yes.
With the people that are here, but they're Muslim. There's lots of Muslims here.
Mm.
Lots of Catholic here. Lots of people in this university city studying philosophy and mm-hmm. psychology and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
Those are, if that is your mission field, then get to know your mission field.
Yeah.
And all the weird, unique people that are in there.
Yeah, that's true. But enough talking about you. Well, you are a foreigner who came to Germany.
Yes.
Let's see, there you go.
But I would consider myself a national missionary, even though I'm a foreigner to this field.
That's true. It's true. Similar to what you said about Germany, uh-huh. I also want to understand other mission fields. And uh-huh. so I should just expand my horizon.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to visit a missionary, okay. visit a church, uh-huh. a family in Hawaii.
You're going to visit a family that came here.
Yes.
I told people, yeah, he's German, she's Scottish. Scottish?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they live in Hawaii, and now they're here in Germany for a few months. Yes.
And
the witch houses.
That's right. We got to know them very well, and now through them, I got to know a missionary who is American and lives in Germany and ministers in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I got to know the church, virtually at least, mm-hmm. and we're excited to see them and meet them.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be fun. We're going to do some beach outreach.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Sounds like you're suffering out
you
there.
You have to suffer for Christ sometimes because...
You have to go to where the people need Jesus, even on the beach.
Even there. Even if the weather is in high 70s, you know, in winter. Mm-hmm. And you have to suffer.
Yes.
It's and eat fresh pineapple and all that stuff.
So you'll be suffering in Hawaii.
Yes.
And I'll be suffering here in the cold.
Yes, yes. That's true. And the church will be suffering
with
as
me.
Well.
But till next time, I like to sign off with the way I sign off in German too, which is stay frosty, my friends.
Have a good week. Yeah.